Grade 5, The Fourfold Human Being. Now, this segment is very introductory. It's particularly for teachers who are quite new to the anthroposophical underpinnings of the Waldorf curriculum. But I think it may be of help to those of you who've been through a number of times and just want to, again, think about the basic building blocks that Rudolf Steiner gave us in our understanding of the child. Or you can just skip ahead and go into the more advanced picture that I tried to give in the next couple of discussions about the fifth grade child. So let's just review where you may have been over the last 4 years with the children. As Steiner describes it, the human being, is one of his many descriptions of the human being, but one of the more useful and practical for us, the fourfold human being, that we are a physical body, which is visible, tangible, an etheric body, which is working closely, intimately with the physical body, but is not visible, is not tangible. However, to an observant parent or teacher, is quite present in its effects. An astral body, which again, non-visible, non-tangible, and works in childhood from a greater distance, but whose effects nonetheless are quite manifest. And then finally, the ego, which is present only in the most homeopathic, highly diluted form in the years in which we have the children. So it's a very simple picture, and I suggest that you look for more detail at the chart, the dynamic diagram that I have up, which is one of the source materials, resource materials that I have available for you. So these bodies are not in a static relationship to one another. And that's why I tried to make the diagrams dynamic, because as soon as you put something up on the blackboard and it just sits there, whether you're told so or not, it tends to take on a graven in stone picture, and it's hard to bring it into movement. So let's be mobile with this. That at birth, the child is 100% physical body. That whole physical body is born at once. It metamorphoses. It goes through transformations, but all of the organs are there, generally smaller or proportionately larger than they will be in later years, and all of the capacities for the development of such things as new chemicals in the body at the time of puberty and adolescence, all of that is there in potential, ready like the forces in a seed to come into being when the time is ripe. At birth, perhaps 20%, if that, of the etheric body is incorporated in the physical body. The rest of that etheric body is working from afar. Steiner describes it as extending all the way to the lunar sphere, the sphere of the moon, not the physical moon as such, but the entire orbit of the moon around the Earth. So the child physically is tiny, etherically is huge. And this is actually a kind of law of human development, that the smaller the physical body, the more liberated, the more active the etheric forces working from outside, the larger the physical body, the more the etheric body tends to incorporate within it. And so we have in the fairy tales the stories of the giants. The giant is physical, etheric, very powerful, filled with forces of growth and life, but very dull. because we need something more to stimulate brightness, to stimulate intellectual growth, and that's the astral body. But we'll come to that in a moment. Let's continue with the etheric. So the etheric is about 20% present, but working powerfully in a modeling, sculptural way on the physical body. And with every passing day, week, month, and year, the etheric body is rapidly moving towards its full incorporation into the physical body. And that event occurs round about age 11, just at the time that you have them. And I speak about other aspects of this in the following segments, but this is really, really important. This is a huge threshold. And though we speak quite a bit, and rightfully so, about the 9-year, 9-10-year change, so we know a lot about, from Steiner in particular, and other researchers, the changes the child's going through at that age, and we certainly speak a lot nowadays about puberty and adolescence, the changes that the children are going through, at least on an emotional level, late grade 6 and beyond. Grade 5 is sort of orphaned in all of this, and yet it's extremely important. The physical and the etheric are at one. It's only a little bit of etheric forces still expanded outside of the body, and this is the back of the head, the fontanella area. So interesting, we think of the, as we'll see, the sloping crown of the pharaoh in Egypt, and the crowns of the Easter Island statues, and other crowns and headpieces, which give this suggestion of something not only on top of the head, but something sloping back. So the etheric works strongly from behind us, and this is why it's wonderful for the children to walk backwards in games, and also if they have eurythmy, if they're fortunate enough to have eurythmy, also in eurythmy they're asked to really experience the space behind them. That's where the etheric is most active. But now with the incorporation of the etheric body, which is the holder of memory, the child's memory forces grow very, very strong. And this is why the fifth grade class play, to give just one example, should be exponentially longer and more demanding than plays that you've done earlier. All too often, teachers are treating the fifth graders in much too childish a way. That incorporation of etheric really opens up a kind of foundation for the leap into intellectual cognitive capacities that you'll be seeing in grade 6. So what about the astral body? The astral body has been a very powerful force, overstepping its boundaries whenever it can. And in the healthy child, the normal child, of which there are fewer and fewer, the astral has been held at bay in many respects in kindergarten, grades 1 and 2. But there must be an opening for it between the middle of grade 3 and the middle of grade 4. And the coming of the astral body, the child's first encounter with a part of their own being, but it's a part that's coming from a completely different direction. The etheric sneaks up on us from behind, or we might say holds us from behind. We'll see this in the classical archaic Egyptian statues of something holding the figure from behind, the kind of matrix. The astral body comes to us full frontal. We see it coming, as it were. It lives in the future, and it streams very powerfully. So this is an upsetting, sometimes tumultuous, sometimes even depressing experience for third and fourth graders. But one sees when it finally settles down and the dust clears, the wonderful liveliness and full of beans quality of the fourth grader. But this does not continue in a linear way into grade five. Don't expect that fifth graders are going to be just bigger versions of the fourth graders any more than fourth graders were bigger versions of the third graders. This linear quality, which is so prevalent in modern psychology and ideas about child development and the education based on those ideas, it is so completely wrong. The child's growth and development is more like a series of hills and valleys, or even mountain peaks and caves, or even a roller coaster. It's not just a simple continuity, at least in what we see and what we experience directly. So in fifth grade, by the middle of fifth grade, and it's always the middle of the year, as is true in all processes of evolution, it's the middle of a period that is the real period, the essence of that period. By the middle of fifth grade, the fifth grader is a lot calmer, a lot more settled. The powerful incorporation of the etheric into the physical pushes away the astral body. And you have a space of about 9 months, maybe 12 months if you're lucky, in which the astral forces are in remission. Now, it's not like they're just going away and behaving themselves. They're regrouping, they're reworking their strategy, and they're planning for the absolute onslaught of their forces that's going to come somewhere between the middle of grade six and the middle of grade seven. So you've got about 12 months, maybe a few more months, if you've played your cards right with some of the children, in which you really see this once upon a time golden time of the grade five child. It's not really there anymore. I discuss this further later on. But you do see a quality, a potential for harmony, for levelness, for a social feeling on the part of the children towards one another. You see, in a way, the beautiful twilight of these etheric forces, which do not remain set in that way, do not remain fully incorporated for very long. It might be 2 or 3 years, and then they start to withdraw again. And you'll see, I describe this in greater detail later on. So there we have the fourfold human being. This very, very important incorporation, and we will see how much the culture of ancient Greece, particularly the so-called Golden Age of Athens, was an historical manifestation of what changes in the biography of every single child today. That the Greeks were fifth graders, we might say, in many respects. So they are a perfect culture to teach the child today. How long did that golden age of Athens live on? You know, considering the influence that it has had, particularly from the Renaissance on to our own time, and you know how much Greek architecture and sculpture has been imitated and copied, and how many Greek ideals like democracy have come into our culture, one would imagine that golden age must have lasted for centuries. It really lasted about 50 years. It was the time in which the etheric forces could be fully incorporated in those days in adult human physical bodies. And even that was a short period of time, historically speaking. So enjoy it while you can, and we'll see how this opens up the child in grade five for subjects that cannot be taught and should not be taught at any other time. So now you can go on, and we're going to look at what I call the Janus quality of the fifth grader.